Check out our website at www.thefantasyamateurs.com.
On this edition of the Nasty Cast, we go over some recent MLB trades, the signing of Yulieski Gurriel, the firing of Twins GM Terry Ryan, injuries in bullpens, and in our feature segment, we have our annual mini Roto League draft. What is this, a fantasy baseball podcast?
Yes!
That's all we talk about on this podcast is interesting things. Yeah. Jesse, go toss a potato.
Here lies Joe. He died wearing braces.
Be interesting when she has her heavy flow at times.
It's not Nick Nolte.
That damn dirty ape.
You're going to blow Arkansas?
The Hindenburger cheese.
We follow the golden rule.
I'm in a league with the Pope.
Could have been an accountant.
Replace the baseballs with hand grenades.
Thor, he's like Jesus, but for people from Norway.
Eating ain't cheating. Hello and welcome to episode 88 of the Nasty Cast, fantasy baseball podcast brought to you by thefantasyamateurs.com. I am Nathan Dockin. You can find me on the Twitter at Nathan Dockin. And I'm joined today by a man who's got the power to turn back time. He'll start over, he'll rewind, and while he's at it, he'll go back and drink more beer so he gets too drunk and forgets to show up here. Hey!
Man.
It's the power to turn back time. Joe Osachi.
I quit the show. I'm never coming back again.
Perfect. Mission accomplished.
All right. So,
see ya.
Other than that, I guess I'll introduce the new co-host then.
yep.
It's the only man I know of who is more handsome than John Bon Jovi. We got Jesse Jordan. But really, I might quit. I don't...
Oh, come on.
I can't think of anything in the world, in today's modern world, that I hate more than those Bon Jovi commercials. They're so bad.
People out there in podcast land don't know what we're talking about. I don't know how you've missed it, but they're the DirecTV commercials that if you watch MLB Network are played on every single commercial break.
There's certain channels, yeah, like sometimes I'll be watching a show and it's just every commercial break they play it. And
I must not get very many commercial breaks for that because I already have DirecTV.
I guess.
I already have the power to turn back time.
I guess you do.
They don't have to advertise for them to their own customers.
Yeah. No.
Keep owning us.
Yes.
Yeah, they could say that. Well, I have Dish Network, I believe.
I do like.
No, I'm on Midco now.
Joe introduced me and then.
Just kept talking.
Just kept talking.
Because Jesse's there, whatever.
He's like, I almost got to talk.
Yeah, well, sorry.
I should have known you weren't done with your gripe.
After this week, though, it'll just be the two of you. Actually, maybe after this first segment, because I can't do a show with someone that would sing that song. You know how I feel about that song.
I think we might sing that song or a version of it every episode.
Every episode.
No, we won't.
Even after Joe's gone.
Well, if I'm gone, then I guess you do what you like, but...
We need to record the actual guitar track.
Yes.
Create new lyrics every week.
I just if John Bon Jovi was in my living room looking creepy and weird and singing me those songs, I mean, I would either go and get a baseball bat out of the closet and just start hitting him with it or call the police or something. I wouldn't just sit there and, look at this creepy old looking weird guy with his acoustic guitar.
Like, making magical things happen, Joe.
I hate him so much. I mean, I don't know what it is about those, but then that song will get in your head for like 4 days straight, too. And there's nothing I like less.
I've been
less
singing
than,
it all day.
It's horrible.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to come up with lyrics for that, and that's what I, landed upon. So I was actually literally singing the song earlier today, trying to figure out exactly how I was going to word it.
You're a horrible person.
Thank you. What's your favorite Bon Jovi song? Email us, thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at fantasyamateurs.
I think mine is probably that one about Johnny on the docks or whatever.
I don't even
Tommy? Tommy used to work on the docks.
Tommy used to work on the docks.
I don't even think I've seen that one.
Union's been on strike and he's down
on his luck.
It's
nice.
Tough.
It's tough.
So tough.
Yeah, so tough.
What song is that?
Living on a Prayer.
Oh, Living on a Prayer, yeah. That's.
I thought you were talking about another commercial.
We're no, that's
a, I'm like, what? I don't remember
that. That's an actual Bon Jovi song.
Ah, okay.
And of course, Matthew Berry once sang it as in the Stefania voice.
Oh, I thought it was Pedro. It was Pedro Alvarez.
I think it was in the Stefania voice. That
either way,
that.
It was
I might go with, like, Wanted, Dead or Alive, or the other cowboy one from Young Guns soundtrack. I think they didn't they release the soundtrack for both Young Guns 1 and 2?
I couldn't tell you that.
Pretty sure they did.
Probably, yeah. I recall liking
one of those
movies. But
he sang two cowboy songs.
I can't remember either of them
anymore. You don't know if you liked the Young Guns movies? I liked them.
I don't really remember. I remember liking one of them when I was, you know, like 16.
I remember them being out when I was like 5, and like my 16-year-old cousins thought they were cool, but I was too young to really get it. I didn't. I was like, I like Sesame Street, guys. I don't know what you guys think.
Elmo's a stud.
Yeah.
I guess
Cookie
I was
Monster.
Just, I was just a cool 7-year-old.
You were,
watch
yeah.
Young. No,
oh, man, we could have Sesame Street Madness.
Blaze of Glory was the other idea. One, yeah.
Blaze of Glory, yeah, that's my choice. Glory. That's what it was.
I'm pretty sure they were like the main feature on both Young Guns 1 and 2, which is kind of
why weird. Would you choose anyone else?
Oh, yeah.
Because Bon Jovi has now turned into the most hated man in all of America, or at least he should be that.
It is kind of a creepy look that he gives at the end of his song thing.
Yeah, I don't
know.
He
like stares at you.
I just don't like looking at him. Like when that commercial comes on, I will, like, if the remote's not near me, I'm just like desperately searching for it. That's all I want to do is change the channel.
Poor man.
And I guarantee that commercial is going to come on while we're watching the Simpsons Halloween specials.
Probably, yeah. By the way, these are my favorite episodes of The Simpsons probably ever. This is The Shining. Take on The Shining. That's good stuff. Anyway, buy a t-shirt at thefantasyamateurs.com if you're running around naked. You can also rate and review the podcast on iTunes. Please do that. It makes us feel all warm and fuzzy inside. And we have an exciting announcement, ladies and gentlemen.
Also, we don't currently sell Nasty Cast pants. So if you are running around naked, you'll have to find pants somewhere else.
Just get an XL. Yes.
True.
Hopefully it'll cover your underoos.
Yeah. And just like kind of like
sit down and
down
cross
a
your
bit,
legs.
Scott,
yeah.
You know, squat. Yeah. If you squat far enough, your shirt will finally cover your.
Yeah.
Your
a lot of people just
section.
Pull it. Like my kid pulls the shirt down to his knees because he never wears pants, and then
he's
somebody
got the
comes
bee's
in the
knees.
House.
They should make him wear pants. I think
the tease knees.
There's no getting that kid to wear pants. I tell you.
And then, I thought our big news was that you guys were back on the podcast.
Yeah, we did quit last week. That's true.
Yeah, it was
true. Yeah, it was.
And then we decided to shake things up again and let Nate do the intro again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't get stale.
Right, yeah. Jesse filled in admirably last week, but back to the grind.
Back to the norm. Back to what people hate or love.
Back to Norm McDonald. Yeah, you know, speaking of, you know, I was not at the, you know, in North Dakota. I was out in Chicago last week.
Sure.
Chicago?
Chicago. I don't know how to say that.
I don't know.
that was not the way to do it, though. But I went to Wrigley Field, which was glorious.
Oh, I never did ask you about that.
Yeah, it was great, beautiful stadium. Definitely a lot different from Target Field.
Where'd you sit?
Just the bleachers in the outfield. Yeah, left field bleachers.
Did you get an itch? You know, from all the ivy?
No. I did.
I don't know that it's poison.
I did have a stretch in the 7th inning, though.
Who sang the stretch?
Some guy.
Sinead O'Connor.
It might have been Harry Carey.
Harry Carey back from the dead.
The ghost of Harry Carey.
Yeah. R.I.P. R2-D2 soon.
R2, I was
But anyway.
Beat me to the punch.
Yeah, no, this is lots smaller than Target Field, you know, a lot of old bricks and such. Very beautiful stadium. But there was this couple who was sitting in front of us in these bleachers, and the guy, when we showed up, he was like the loud guy of the group.
Okay.
You know? He was always, you know, like, I don't know, come on, Rizzo! You know, just, you know, not
yelling
like,
at Rizzo?
Yeah, like cheering good things, not like...
Sure. There's always that guy.
Yeah, not like, hey, you're a prick, go to hell and die, nothing like that, you know, it was all positive things, but he was very loud.
Okay.
He was the loud guy of the area, and he was with, not, I don't know if it was girlfriend or wife or whatever, but... She kept telling him, shut up. And it was hilarious. And then there was one
I
time.
I assume he just kept doing it.
Yeah, oh yeah. He got louder because he kept drinking beers. He was like okay when we got there, and he just kept chugging beers, and he was almost, you know, you couldn't, it was unintelligible what he was saying by the time we left in the top of the eighth.
By the time it was done, he's like, oh, Andre Dawson, you're overpaid.
My kind of guy.
Yeah, he was out of control. And he was even giving Hawk Harrelson quotes. Like, there was like a 3-2 or a 2-2 count, and it was a ball. And he goes, here you go!
It was a ball.
Yeah, and his wife was like, it's a full count, you moron.
And that's the wrong team.
Yeah, exactly. But the best thing about him, as he continued, I mean, she, by the end of the thing, she wouldn't even talk to him. She's like moved away from him. She was so angry at him, and it was hysterical. But after every time he kept saying something, he'd be like, Brexit! And she'd be like, nobody cares about Brexit. Stop bringing up Brexit. He's like, so you guys hear that that Brexit?
He was just telling people wanted to chat about it.
It was so great. So yeah, the more drunk he got,
it was a
the
good
less
conversation.
Yeah,
started.
The less he wanted to talk about Brexit, and the more he wanted to just say the word Brexit, like
Brexit.
As a period after every sentence.
Gonna get up tomorrow morning and eat some Brexit.
So it was a good time.
I was kind of hoping you're gonna share the fact that this guy had his shirt off and had what, 7 hairy moles on his back.
Oh, that guy. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah, that was at the open air festival.
Oh, you saw somebody there. Oh,
yeah. I think
I was referring
to
the
league chat.
The NastyCast podcast league chat that Scott at.
Oh no! Yeah, that was actually totally unrelated.
And it was a Cubs fan.
Yeah,
remember he was at the Pittsburgh game, and it was a Cubs fan. So I thought that's maybe right. It was the same guy.
He travels.
I was really, really hoping.
Yeah.
That it was the Moley gay.
There was an old guy without a shirt on who had a back full of hair and moles.
At the
and in the general admission area of one of our concerts.
You should snap me a
so
picture.
So creepy, gross.
Did you enjoy my scenery of that night when you sent me a picture of whatever concert it was?
Oh, yeah, you toe?
Yeah. That's what I was looking at.
God. I'm glad you're looking at that and not something else.
Yeah, you're lucky.
True.
Anyway, we've buried the lead at this point.
Well, yeah, but now we can launch back into the big announcement after that.
There's a lot of excitement
digression
around here. I'm sure they figured out already.
Because I suppose,
if they've listened this far, they happen to listen probably to the first 30 seconds of the show.
Certainly, and you notice something out of the sorts.
Yes. What is this, an advertisement? That's peculiar.
So why don't you explain it to them, Nathan?
Well, to all the Bucketeers out there, we're on Blog Talk Radio Prime now.
Whatever that means, but...
That means that we make a little scratch for doing the show?
Well, sure. But I think the more exciting news is just what we got to do earlier in the day today.
Yeah, it's true.
That's exciting, too. But the biggest part about being on Blog Talk Radio Prime isn't so much that we got to put these advertisements on and we might get a little money for it, but is that we can grow our listenership.
Hopefully a lot.
If we do that, then I mean, the more we spend, the bigger it gets.
We're going to start spending. Oh, the more we expand. Okay.
Yes.
We're going to start paying for listeners. I don't know about all that.
It's just like Twitter.
I might have to
pay for followers.
We should buy some podcast listeners. Actually, that's not a bad idea.
Sure. I just wanted to make sure we emphasize the fact that joining up with BTR Prime is bigger for us with the. Reaching, or we can reach a lot more people.
We should get a lot more exposure. Yeah, sure.
And it is NastyCast Awareness Month, so
that is true.
Perfect timing.
We did have a chat today with a certain Blog Talk Radio executive who said that perhaps they would help us out, get us some exposure, put us on the tweet us out perhaps every now and again, and it was pretty cool to talk to said Blog Talk Radio executive.
Who would that be, Joe?
A guy. I think his name was. Jay. I could use we could be vague about it, but
you could.
That is his name.
It was a little fanboy experience today.
Right, yes. As the longtime listeners will know, Jay Soderberg, of course, the great Pod Vader, was producer on really the inspiration for this podcast.
For
the old 06010.
I mean, it really was one of the first great podcasts that there was, really. I mean, they won so many podcast awards that they are now ineligible to win anymore.
It's the most famous fantasy sports podcast of all time.
Well, yeah, and at that time, those were the glory years when Matthew Berry, Nate Ravitz, Pod Vader, the three of them making the greatest podcast ever made. At least in my book. I mean, we just love those shows so much. So today was, you know, we didn't have anything to do with it. One day, probably 2 weeks ago, and we never mentioned anything about it on the show, we get an email in the inbox saying that Pod Vader wants to talk to us. And one of the weirdest things that's probably ever happened to us. And
very, very cool.
Yeah, so he said, and we did have a chat, and he said he did think that our show was a little bit reminiscent of a certain other show that he had heard in the past, or perhaps been involved with. So, one of the funner conversations you could ever have. He was super nice and super helpful to us. So, thanks. Shout out to Pod.
We basically did a 5 hour, 5.5 hour, 6 hour turnaround time, and now our show is on Block Time.
Jesse had to get out because my kid was sick. Good job, Jesse. So. Got to set up in a hurry.
Yeah. And speaking of that, that's probably why, you know, we do need probably all the subscribers an apology for filling up their podcast poll. But at least it didn't all come in as brand new podcasts. They just came in as
at
probably
the back
on play.
End of your feed, yeah.
Yeah.
That seriously happened to me with other podcasts earlier this week. And
just this week, huh?
Yes, two different podcasts. All of a sudden, I looked at my feed and I had 84 unplayed podcasts. I'm like, that's unusual.
That's unusual.
And it was two shows. I don't know what, you know, they must have done something similar, refreshed their something. And then, they all showed up as unplayed. So I just had to go through and delete them all. But, you know.
So that's, so we were switching hosts. So that's why.
I apparently did it right because I went into iTunes about 15-20 minutes after I completed it, and not to get too technical, but our feed had already updated to our new feed, so whatever I did, it just automatically we don't have to use crappy feed burner anymore. If anybody out there has ever heard of that, it's like a free service that Google stopped supporting like 6 years ago, probably before we even started podcasting. So I figured it out all on my own. So now we actually have tech support working and helping us, so if we have issues and things
We're just going to call it Pod Vader whenever we have
people.
Any trouble.
Yeah.
And I'm sure he'll answer.
Yeah, it's still pretty cool, the fact that Pod Vader listened to our podcast.
All right. Well, that's enough preamble. Let's get into the news.
The one constant through all the years, Ray, has been baseball.
All right. Michael Montgomery and Jordan Preece has been traded from the Seattle Mariners to the Cubs of Chicago for Dan Vogelbach and Paul Blackburn. So, obviously, Mike Montgomery, bullpen arm, not going to be tremendously fantasy relevant. However, big fat Dan Vogelbach, Joe, what do you think about him moving forward?
Not much, but I want to talk about Paul Blackburn and Jordan Preece. No, I don't really care about any of the other people. Yeah, you put this in here just because you want to talk about Dan Vogelbach.
It's news.
You only want to talk about Dan. That's like the
only
thing.
Well, he's the best piece there, for sure.
It's probably like the 17th time you've brought Dan Vogelbach up on podcasts.
He's my big fat boy.
So then you just tell us what you think. How soon is he in the All-Star game?
Tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Then
they're going to call a second All-Star game just because of how awesome he is.
He's just going to go out there.
He's going to play every position.
It'll be T-ball. He'll just hit off a tee and run the bases and still somehow get thrown out at third, even though there's nobody in the field.
Right. Yeah, no, I don't even know, honestly, if he sees the majors this year. Maybe he will, but they've got, Lind and Big Fat, even fatter, Deho Lee. Well, have been really holding down DH mediocrely.
I'd say pretty mediocrely.
Mediocrely.
I'm sure by next year they'll probably let him, at the very least he's going to be in the running for...
Yeah, I don't think they have Lynn back again next year.
First base / DH role. So by next...
That should be a position.
First base.
Yeah.
What do you play? I play some first base.
Be like half a base.
Yeah. I don't know what it would be.
Anyway.
For some reason, all that I thought of when I said it was the Dax Shepard on Idiocracy when the guy knocks on his window. He's like, hey, Nick, don't come in baiting. I don't know why. But that's what it reminded me of.
Sure. So, I don't know. Dan Vogelbach, long-term, good.
We know how you feel about him. But it's obviously, if anything, it's bad. I mean, because you knew he was going to get traded. They needed to trade him because he doesn't have anywhere to play in the National League period, and especially on the Cubs. So it's not really a good landing spot for him to go to Seattle. But
no, definitely not.
If you got enough power, I think Nelson Cruz has shown you can hit a homer or two out there in Seattle.
Yeah, which I don't know if he necessarily has huge power like that. He's more of a contact hitter.
Not like Nelson Cruz, honestly.
No. But yeah, he is. I mean, he's a good contact hitter. He should hit for, you know, average, batting average, maybe above average pop. Which is, I mean, he's probably maybe a low-end first baseman long-term.
Yeah, I mean, I assume he'll play enough first base to keep the eligibility, but it's all in the future. But if you're in a shallowish dynasty league where he'd still be out there, you might as well go out and you could go out and add him.
There you go.
Other than that, I don't think there's a whole lot to say about David Preece or whoever the hell the other guy
Paul
was.
Blackburn, no. Sure. They're sort of
I hope Paul
guys.
Blackburn is Nick Blackburn's brother.
Hmm. It's only one way to find out.
I always like how Gardenhire called him Blackie. He really did, too. Yeah. Anyway,
well, he just puts a Y at the end of everybody's name.
I know, yeah. That's just like something he does. Yeah, like Tory. He always called Tory Hunter Tory.
Yeah. God.
One of those things. I was trying to think of another player, and that's the guy that came to my head, and Tory Hunter was the worst example. Yeah, he would say Ploofy, sure. Doji.
Oh, Doji.
That's what he did.
Dojery.
Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want to just go through Twins names and do
the
that.
Whole lineup, yeah.
Yeah, okay. We'll move on to Yulieski Gurriel has signed with
Gooey.
The...
Gooey, that's what Gardenhire would call him.
Yeah, we got Gooey out there at third now, so he's going to...
He's really got a sticky glove here.
Yeah, we like Gooey.
Snaps
Gooey's
up all those baseballs.
For us, yep. We used to have Ploofy, but now we're going to go with Gooey, see how he can do.
Oh, okay, Yulieski Gurriel. Gooey signs with the Houston Astros on a 5-year, $47.5 million deal, chump change. What do you think about Yulieski Josef?
Okay,
Joey?
I thought you were going to finish his name. You know, for me with Gooey, it's more about, do like that we now know.
That's his name now.
It's always fun to nickname Gooey. A player because we had Burrito Suave with Jose Barrios.
Yep.
Trying to think who else we had.
Well, the nickname that I coined for...
Rex Sisters.
Oh, there's that. Evan DeNoodleman Gaddis.
Yeah, which that never made any sense at all. But anyway, so now we had Gooey. You know, it's hard to predict the Cuban players, although you said that those one projections are pretty solid.
Yes, the Davenport translations.
Indeed. And, you know, that's always what my grandma called the sofa, so I do like Davenports. Did Grandma ever say that?
I know the
Why
lazy
Why don't you
Susan
go have a sit on the Davenport and I'll bring you a cookie?
That sounds like a toilet.
I set up the pillow and blankie for you.
On the Davenport?
You could just sleep on the Davenport tonight, okay, honey?
Your grandma was British, I think. I don't know if
it's Barry Baker's grandma.
Yeah, there you go. I do think that old people said that, though. Like, my grandma always called the refrigerator, or the fridge, the Frigidaire. Which is just a brand of refrigerator in 1912 or whatever.
My kid calls it the ice box because that's what his grandpa calls it still.
Yeah.
Go get a drink out of the ice box. It's a damn fridge.
Yeah, ice box is from like 1914. That's pretty old. We've had electricity for quite some time.
Right, yeah.
So anyway, I think
of
we
Of course
can...
there's the Lazy Susan.
Yeah, those are nice.
I suppose that's still what they call
it. Goddamn,
those.
Susan still hasn't got a job.
She is
so
lazy.
She is
just
so
spinning around with my stuff in her.
Yeah,
I don't
just
know.
Holding on to my brown sugar with all her might.
I don't know what really.
Go.
I don't know what really the reason for this is, but for some reason, when I was younger, I could never. This is like 18. I can never remember the name of Lazy Susan, but I knew it was a thing like that, and I called it the Spinning Jenny.
That's pretty good.
So yeah. That was.
Have
my
you guys
thing.
Ever noticed how?
But I don't think anybody else says that.
To the Lazy Susan, you can't just grab your stuff, even if it's right in front of you.
You got to turn
see it,
a
and
bit.
You turn it.
Yeah.
Oh, where's it at? Oh,
you
yeah,
spin
it's right
all
here.
The way
so you turn a little bit to the right, and you turn it back, and then you grab it.
Yeah.
Oftentimes, I'll spin her three times in a circle, just in a row.
Yeah.
Like, where the hell did I put my damn Cheerios or whatever?
Yeah. You keep Cheerios? Cheerios.
That's just the first thing that came to mind. I had Barry Baker on the brain. He always
said,
Cheerio!
Cheerio.
Oh, blimey.
That's his favorite cereal.
Cheerios.
Cheerios.
Cheerios. Cheerios.
What's your favorite cereal, Barry? Jesus, we've gone way off the rails.
Yeah, it's bad.
So, Gurriel, yeah, the Davenport translations were 295 and 20 home runs, I think, from the last year of Cuban playing or whatever. Which, you know, throw in maybe mid-teens stolen bases, I think, is about the expectation for him.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably buy more into the power than the steals just because he's 32, but, you know.
Yeah, so that's
having never
that can
seen,
fall off.
Having never seen him play,
it's hard.
It's really hard to know how fast he
and
is.
And I mean, you got to imagine that, you know, the pitchers are a lot more deceptive and they have better pickoff moves in Major League Baseball than they do in Cuba.
Yeah.
So it'd be harder to steal a base when you come over here.
So if anything, I think that, you know, we've seen enough players come over, like Abreu and, well, I guess not really, can't really count.
Brosny?
Well, no, Puig, we can't really count him as a success anymore. But, I mean, a couple guys came over and had some immediate success. I kind of like him. I like, you know, I mean, obviously the Cuba, you know, the fact that he had, like, four strikeouts and 75 walks or whatever in his last season there. You got to take
pretty
that
ridiculous.
With a grain of salt. But hopefully he can, you know, get at least close to even strikeout and walk rates, and if he can do that, I'm gonna like him because I like
like a great on base guy.
Yeah, I like on base players. That always drives up your run totals, and you know I play in a lot of OBP leagues, so he kind of has the profile that I like. And he's 32, so like you know dynasty leagues are some of the places where you're gonna be interested in him because he's the new hot shiny new toy or whatever. You know, 32 year olds don't exactly have a lot of. It's not like getting a 21-year-old or whatever, but
yeah. So a lot of teams, you know, he might slide a little bit down the board just because a lot of the rebuilding teams aren't going to necessarily go crazy for a 32-year-old. He'd be a trade chip for them.
Well, and you know, I think there's going to be some differences in how your league sets up if you're a dynasty player. But like we changed our rules now, so he's not available till next year. We talked about the GUIs, both of them, last week on the podcast, and you know where they would slot into next year's dynasty redrafts and stuff like that. But we'll get it. You know, you'll get a chance to see you know the elder GUI and see what he can do this year. I think he'll come up and play and be a meaningful player down the stretch. I mean, like if you're, you know, in a nail only league or a deep mix league, whenever he's added to the player pool, I'd be interested. I think he's gonna have a really good. You know, however many games he plays, I mean, it's hard to say how long they'll.
Yeah, it's going to be sort of like a glorified call up.
Exactly. You know? I don't know how long they're going to leave him in the minors, but I would think not very long before he gets a call. And I think once he comes up, he's going to definitely be fantasy relevant, even in like 10 team leagues.
Yeah. Go back and listen to the episode that we had Brett Sayer on for a little bit more of a scouting report on both of them. We talked about them extensively as well as with some other prospects. So, but that also plays in with. This next player that is of note, and that's Alex Bregman. He's sort of been on call-up watch for over a month now. He's just been just slaying the minor leagues this season.
Slaying the minors like I slay Tang.
Slay Tang. Dripping milk.
All right.
Bregman, obviously, he drafted as a shortstop, obviously blocked there by Correa and second base by Altuve, so they've been playing him at third base a little bit, and now he's playing a little left field at AAA, so they're sort of moving him around to try to find a way to get his bat up to the major leagues, it seems, and Gurriel is probably going to play third base, I would assume, even though I think he played second in Cuba
when he was younger, but I think he's been a third baseman the last few years.
Okay, there you go.
Like way back in the World Baseball Classic when he first like was noticed because you know you never saw the Cubans before that.
Right.
But back then he was playing second, but he's been third base last
third
couple
base.
Years.
Okay, yeah. So that would fit then. So Bregman is one of the few guys that I'd be excited about as far as stashing for the rest of the season. Another really good on base. You know, on base hitter. And
it's just difficult with playing time out there. They really kind of are. They got kind of a crowded playing time situation out there in Houston at this point. But.
Yeah. Big fat DJ or AJ Reed. He's not been playing too well.
No, there's some struggling players there. I mean, Carlos Gomez isn't good anymore either. So
he had been better. I guess I hadn't looked at him in the last week or two, but.
Evan Gattis
in June, he'd actually been really good.
Well, Evan Gattis has pretty much sucked. I mean,
the Noodleman. Yeah.
The Noodleman, sure. So, I mean, yeah, the outfield is probably his only real path to playing time at this point. Because they still got Valbuena, too, who's been a serviceable third baseman. And like,
yeah, he hits bombs and not much else.
That's all he does.
Yeah.
It's not what he's about.
No, of course.
That's what he does.
What is he about?
I was going to say hitting home runs, but that's what he does. Yeah, he's about sandwiches, but he hits home runs. We know what Nate's about now.
Tacos.
Nope, stealing jokes.
Oh, yeah.
You forgot already. I knew he'd forget.
I thought that's what he did.
Actually, no, he does the podcast.
I think, yeah, I do the podcast.
We do the podcast.
What I'm really about, though, is burritos.
Yeah, you were about stealing jokes. I think we've established that.
Yeah, I haven't stolen one yet, though, so...
Oh, no, I think we have. Several.
I forgot we have, yeah.
I'm still always about respect for women myself. I don't know if we ever decided what Jesse's
Which, of course, that's not a stolen joke either.
No, no, I never steal jokes. I'm about respect for women.
Sure, yeah. Jesse's about production.
Yeah.
Whether it's, like... up to par, standardized production. Standardized production.
Standardized production.
Like a, yeah, sounds like a fancy name.
He's an assembly line.
Standard. Yeah. Yeah, he works on, yeah, it sounds like you work on a, like a assembly line like for Ford. There's like 27 robots around him, like welding thing. Then Jesse's just standing, he puts the radio knob on or something like that.
That's all I do.
Standardized production.
For 8 8 hours a day.
Radio knob.
Well, you gotta plug a headphone in there and like listen, make sure the sound quality's up to par.
Oh, yeah, sounds good. Yep. You know, they don't put CD players in cars anymore.
This one goes to 11.
Never.
They should all go to 11.
They should all go to 11.
What's the point of a CD player nowadays in a car?
Well, they don't put them in anymore. Mm. They literally don't even put them in anymore.
I don't even.
Yeah. People are going to start listening to podcasts digital. Exclusively in the cars.
Oh, boy. We're going to be in so many cars.
Mainly the Nasty Cast, I think.
Yep.
Now that we're big
maybe
time.
Maybe we'll have our own car.
Yeah, they might name a car after us.
I do work at the Ford car dealership. Maybe I could just... We could have the Nasty Car.
The Nasty Car. I think yes, that's sell like hotcakes.
I think that should be the name of the episode, too.
Yeah, maybe we should invest in buying a bunch of Nasty Cars. Nasty Cars.
Yep, buy a bunch of Nasty
Cars. And put
cars.
Them on the internet and see if people will order them and buy them.
Yeah, after so the wild success of the car, shirts, let's buy a yeah. bunch of yes. cars.
If you're interested in a Nasty Car, email us at thefantasyaverage.com.
Yeah, we'll get you a car.
Oh,
we'll
Lord.
Tell you the price.
It's going to be an old made. Chevrolet Caprice that we paint green and write our logo on it.
Oh, man.
And then we're going to it's literally like a 1982 Caprice, and we're going to somehow tape nothing but our podcast onto old cassette tapes because that's all that's going to have.
Yeah.
And then that's.
Exactly know how
your, the whole glove box is going to be filled with cassette tapes, and you got to put them in and listen to Nasty Cast. It's a.
Only one episode per cassette.
Yeah. Halfway through, eject, flip it.
Yeah. You know, there's Jesus. Probably certain people in our audience that don't even really get that never have listened to a cassette.
Well, just think of how game-changing it was when you could press the B button.
And then and you didn't have to...
Then it started automatically playing side B.
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I think probably I always had that. I don't know if I ever had to take it out. And our first, like, I think it was a Caprice, too, when I was growing up. We just had an 8-track in there. We didn't even have a cassette player in it. And this was until I was, like, 10. And we had 2 8-tracks. Wow. That was all we could listen to.
Boy.
One was the Beach Boys,
Oy.
Which was great. Greatest Hits.
Yeah. Beach so you, Boys. I went out and bought their Greatest Hits CD.
Yeah, and what's the other was that? Linda Ronstadt. Not good.
What did she sing?
I don't know. Terrible country songs.
God.
But the Beach Boys' Greatest Hits was a really solid 8-track.
This is the worst podcast we've ever done. So let's move on to... Drew Pomeranz has been traded to
Did we even finish whatever we were talking about?
What, about the Nasty Car?
Yeah.
I think we've talked enough about that.
Oh, well.
No, we're talking about the Astros.
Alex Bregman,
I think we've crossed that off the list.
Yeah, whatever.
Drew Pomeranz, the pom-pom, as I like to call him.
Let's get back to the Nasty Car, though, for a minute here.
Shut up, Joe. Okay. Shut up. Traded to the Red Sox for Anderson Espinosa.
Sure.
So, who won the trade, Joe?
Oh, the Padres.
By far?
I think so. I mean, it was one of those that right away everybody killed the Red Sox for it, even though Anderson Espinosa is 18 and nobody's ever seen him pitch. So nobody really knows, but, you know, Pedro Martinez was talking about...
Right, everybody who's seen Anderson Espinosa pitch apparently says he's the next Pedro Martinez.
Well, and then Pedro himself, like, gave him the stamp of approval, and it's the Red Sox and Pedro, so...
They're all 4'10".
Yeah, the Red Sox fans were all about Espinosa, so they were upset. I mean, and we'll get to what we think of Drew Pomeranz more, I guess, when we do the mini-Roto talk, or we can talk about it more there, but...
Oh, yeah.
I was really excited about Espinosa. I mean, Rich Wilson was kind of glowing about him, you know, way back when he did a off-season podcast about him. And I've been super interested in him ever since I've kind of heard about him. Just It is always. We've seen a lot of short right-handed pitchers come up this season and fail, so that's a bad sign.
Yeah, we talked about that just a week or two ago.
Luis Severino and Marcus Stroman and
They're all. And this is, Espinosa, 6'1", 170 is the listed height and weight here.
But he's 18, and there's exceptions to every rule. And I mean, if he really has 95, can throw 95 and's got great control and great off-speed stuff and. I don't know. I think he could come up and be great, but Drew Pomeranz has been like a top 10 pitcher this year. I just don't like the fit for him going to Boston.
Well, certainly a downgrade as far as divisions go. Obviously, the AL East, the worst place to pitch in baseball.
Well, in his first start, he came out and got rocked. He didn't even make it out of the third, so that's a bad sign. I
talked about this on the ITL Writers Room pod when I guested on there last week. I mean, I don't know why you choose Pomeranz to trade for unless it's more of a long-term chip, because
they got him for the next 2 years.
Yeah, okay, so he threw 88 innings last year. He's already 105 innings this year. So if he finishes the season, I mean, what is it, 160 innings, and with a playoff run, are you really going to pitch him that much, and just pray that his arm doesn't fall off? Not only
for full seasons in the recent years, he just has been getting shuttled back and forth from the bullpen to the starting rotation. I mean, that's the reason that he hasn't pitched a full season pitched a lot of innings these last couple of years. It isn't that he's been injured or in the minors. I mean, he's been up and pitching full seasons. It's just he has, so he's been doing, like last year he had 53 appearances and only 9 starts. Well, so that's why he only has 86 innings, because he pitched a ton out of the bullpen. That was mainly what he did last year.
But you still have to question whether his arm strength is going to.
Yeah, he still has never put up anywhere near a 200 inning season. So you can worry about that.
Yeah.
I'm probably less worried about that than you are, but
clearly
the innings limit.
As far as a long term deal, I guess maybe not that bad for the Sox, because he is cost controlled for the next 2 years.
Still young.
Yeah. But I still think this year they need more pitching.
Yeah, I don't trust him in Boston. I mean, I liked him in Oakland. He was a guy that I liked. But he gives up home runs, and David Price can't even pitch in Boston with the amount of home runs he's
getting. Oh, I don't mean to start on David stupid Price.
When it's the year of the home run, I mean, everybody's giving up home runs. If you're a fly ball pitcher, you seem to be, meat right now. I mean, just it's crazy what's going on.
There's a lot of talk going around about juice balls.
Yeah, that's what people are. I mean, they're mainly talking about my balls.
That's as soon as that left my mouth, I knew that I just teed that one up for you.
It was hard to not.
I put your balls right up on a tee.
You did.
I was waiting here, on the bench.
in
case you missed that one.
Okay.
I was ready.
No, there it is, by the way.
Ready to check in, coach.
The Bon Jovi commercial was just on TV.
Oh, perfect. Yep.
Always. It's always on TV.
Wait a minute. Let's rewind that and see it again.
Oh, but we don't have
the power to do it.
Oh, you're punishing the listeners. So anyway, we're both pretty down on Pomeranz, but we can get back to that later. I think Espinosa, definitely could turn out to be a future superstar in San Diego. Not that that's the greatest pitching park anymore like it used to be, but still.
Okay. Moving on, the Twins have fired general manager Terry Ryan.
Yeah, who cares?
Hoop, hoop.
Hooray! Yeah,
hoop.
It's about damn time, as far as I'm concerned.
Nate's really mad about the Twins' personnel move.
They've just ran themselves into the ground so much over the last half to full decade with just shit trades. They've got the whole David Ortiz, farewell tour. Everybody's giving him
Ortiz. That was 20 years ago.
Yeah, well, that's just adding fuel to the fire, as far as I'm concerned. But I mean, you think about all the guys that
they just
let go.
The worst trade that I can recall is Johan Santana. They had the best pitcher in baseball.
They've all been bad.
Well, yeah,
Revere for Vance Worley. They gave away Wilson Ramos for nothing.
That was bad.
I have something I'd like to share with you guys.
All right.
Okay.
About this. This is the Minnesota Twins All-Star squad who left Minnesota in their prime for greener pastures under Terry Ryan's watch. And it does not include Johan Santana.
Carlos Gomez.
Which I can't believe I forgot.
Gomez,
but catcher, Wilson Ramos.
Yeah,
first base, David Ortiz. Second base, Todd Walker. Shortstop, J.J. Hardy, which I'm
I don't even remember Todd Walker.
Not sure.
J.J. Hardy definitely counts. They let
third base, Danny Valencia.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Outfield, Carlos Gomez. Outfield, Torrey Hunter, although he did come back. Outfield, Denard Span.
Or Ben Revere, you could count, too.
Yep.
That's
DH.
The same person.
Yeah, they are. They are the
Michael Kadire. And then pitching staff is, I mean, Johan. But this post says R.A. Dickey, Matt Garza, Kyle Loesch, and Joe Nathan.
I totally forgot about. I don't think losing Kyle Loesch counts as anything. He was.
No.
Yeah.
But
still.
And Joe Nathan. I mean, he was.
Don't forget
he
about.
He was pretty close to washed up by the time they let him go.
Yeah. Liriano. Santana. Yeah. But Santana, I think, just left for money, didn't he?
No, Santana was traded. But he was going to leave for money. And they traded him. And the biggest piece that they got out of the Santana trade was a young outfielder that named Carlos Gomez, who never really put anything together, who they then dumped to Milwaukee for J.J. Hardy, which was not really that good a trade. But J.J. Hardy had a couple 20 home run seasons, and then they just got rid of J.J. Hardy for nothing to Baltimore because they had signed some random guy from Japan named Tsuyoshi Nishioka, who was so bad that he went back to Japan, and we got rid of J.J.
Hardy. Gave his money back.
And he did give his money back. And that's why they got rid of J.J. Hardy, who hit 25 homers like the next three seasons. So, yes, Terry Ryan was bad. But there's no real fantasy relevance to any of that.
No, no but that although was
Wilson Ramos might have been the worst one. You know, they were like, we got Maurer, let's get rid of him. They traded him for Joe Capps, I think, or Matt Capps.
Well, and
Matt
I mean, Capps. You could pile the Maurer contract on top of all that as well. That's true. Coming off his huge 28 home run, 29, whatever it was, giving him that massive contract.
Yeah, I mean.
It's crippling them right now.
They had to do it, though.
I did my best.
Joe Maurer hometown walk. Guy, blah, blah, blah.
I did my best Joe Maurer impression last night playing softball, and retweaked my hamstring because Joe Maurer won the second base and I had to run out of double play ball. I made it to first though. I didn't get out. Wow. It wasn't a double play. So
nice.
It wasn't. I guess I still have a little bit more wheels in my system than Joe Maurer does.
That's for sure.
Joe Maurer has like a 375 OBP this year. He's not been that bad.
Yeah. Well, he walks. It's something I don't do in softball.
Well, not many do.
Yeah, you're not really encouraged to walk.
I've not taken a walk all year.
It's hard to take a walk. How the hell do you take a walk?
Yeah, but we have guys that do. I mean, people do. There's people that won't swing unless they like their pitch. Trust me, I'm a pitcher.
Oh, yeah, I don't.
So I know how.
When I was playing, I was pretty patient up there, and I did take a walk here and there, but usually the umpires.
It's got to be pretty bad.
The umps aren't going to give you
very much leeway. They'll punch you out if you're being too selective.
Yeah, if you're just sitting up there being lazy.
Yeah.
All right, last bit of news here before we move on to the closers. We got Prince Fielder and Shinsu Chu, shocker, to the DL. Delano DeShields, my boy, has been recalled. Yay.
Hooray.
Hooray.
I told Nate about this one.
You did.
You did, yeah.
Breaking it.
Sure.
News.
Breaking it just like Prince and Chu have broken their owner's heart.
Well, it sounds like
I was so furious about Prince Fielder going to the DL.
You should be happy just that he's not ruining the team anymore. But.
Yeah.
Let's look into Prince Fielder a little bit. Obviously, he was pretty much droppable before this even happened. Let's look into his 2016 value, shall we?
Okay.
So for 2016, maybe we should play a little dude feud.
You mean 2017?
2017.
Oh,
yeah, 2016
boy.
Already.
You better say dude feud again.
Dude feud.
I'm the dude. So that's what you call me, you know? That or his dudeness or duder or, El Duderino.
All right, obviously the best player in baseball has to be Anthony Rizzo! Freaking meatball! Give me a goddamn meatball, you son of a bitch!
Boy, that turned, weird at the end there. But, yeah, good to see you, Anthony.
Yeah, he's killing it.
Yep. All right, see you later.
Bye!
Anthony left. Yeah, he's number one.
Or is he? Paul Goldschmidt or Anthony Rizzo next year?
Rizzo? Yeah. I'm sorry to Goldie, who I still like.
No, I was 13 steals for Goldie, 2 for Rizzo.
Yeah, I just think Rizzo's got so much more power, and the steals of it, like, if we're talking
he's
dynasty.
He's got the power to turn back time.
Oh, my God, I hate you. But in all actuality, though, I was having a Paul Goldschmidt fantasy baseball value discussion with our friend Mike, field reporter Mike Wetzel, who's always reporting trades to us, like he was reporting the Chris Sale deal to us earlier in the day.
That's right,
which didn't happen. It was a proposed deal.
Right.
And I was like, you know, I was talking about making a trade for Machado, getting him back, who I already traded him away.
You just traded him away.
Yeah, yeah.
To Mike.
I know, but then he's like, well, you'd have to give me Goldie and then some. And I'm like, no, that's ridiculous. Goldschmidt's better than Machado. Yeah. He's got...
positionality.
I know, positionality. But, you know, Goldschmidt in a down year is 16 homers, 13 steals, 411 OBP. He's dominating, and it's been a down year. Like, he's better than this.
Yeah.
And Manny Machado currently sits at zero steals.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just not running at all. I don't get it, but, you know.
I mean, I expected a downturn in the steals this year, but I didn't think he'd be at zero at the midpoint.
Yeah, he's, I mean,
season or beyond it
he's
now.
Not stealing double digits this year. I don't even know if he's attempted one. Like, if he,
I don't know. I'd have to look it up.
If he did attempt one, I guarantee you he got caught.
Okay, so we're obviously...
you didn't like that joke.
the wheels are turning in my brain. You can't stop.
All right, all right.
We got Goldie, Miggy, Rizzo, E5, Abreu. Let's see. Votto, you're still taking over
him.
Yeah,
I take Votto.
Chris Davis, you hate Chris Davis.
Yeah, but it's not even close.
Adrian Gonzalez or Prince Fielder next
year? I'll still take Adrian Gonzalez. You know, and he was in the range of Prince last year. They were close, Prince and Adrian. They were the old guys that,
right.
You know, you were still... But at least Adrian Gonzalez is healthy. I mean, hasn't been good either.
Still only 7 home runs for Adrian.
I know.
But
it's... But
well, yeah, I would rather have. I would rather take him for the health at least.
Just for the health, yeah,
yeah. Stability. Freeman, obviously, you're taking.
Yeah, Freeman.
Poppy will be retired. Otherwise, you'd probably take him.
Heisman, I might take him even if he's retired.
Okay, Hosmer, yeah, obviously.
Yep.
Let's see. Hanley Ramirez will be first base only next year.
I'll take Hanley.
Kendrys Morales.
Yeah, that's probably getting close and. Damned if I won't take Morales.
Yeah. The Duda?
You know, he's bad. Yeah, Duda's easy in my book. Duda's going to hit so many more home runs.
Teixeira.
Yeah, that's close. I'd say I'd probably take Prince there.
Yeah,
I don't like Teixeira.
That's kind of the cutoff for me, too, there.
I mean, but, you know, he went from being a borderline top 10-ish, you know, guy to, like, or redraft, he was, like, still, like, 7, 8, 9, somewhere in there. You know, he's, like, 20 now.
Yeah, that's about 20.
I mean...
This is, yeah, I have the top 25 coming into the year pulled up right now, and there's a lot of
there's other guys
catchers
in, yeah.
And
well, yeah.
And stuff, yeah. Yeah, so, yeah, right about 20. You know, and there's a guy shopping him in the Dynasty, other Joe.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah. I can't get anything for this guy. Do you want him? I'm like, no. he's been horrible.
Why would anybody want him?
No, and
that was
done
before
for the season.
He was out for the season. Yeah.
Yeah, and I, you know, I was in on him, too, coming into the season, so I, you know, I didn't end up with him anywhere because I kind of went earlier or way late. On the first base, but yeah, it's just I thought that as the season wore on, maybe he got further away from the neck injury, the neck surgery, whatever. He get the power back. It just got worse. I think it's partially to do with the body. You know, fat guys just don't age well.
They don't, except for David Ortiz.
Well, he's not humongously. I guess he's kind of.
He's not skinny.
Big sexy Bartolo Colon. He's timeless.
That's true.
But he's sort of the exception.
Not to derail us anymore.
Oh Lord.
Like, how much, like, do you, when you see these insane David Ortiz seasons, like, we should just be, like, basking in the glory that is this David Ortiz season. It's his best, he's 40 years old, but I just, you're always just like, man, that guy's got to be on the juice.
Right? Yeah.
Like, you just can't trust these, like, even, it's been so many years since we've had a real big PED scandal, but I still can't get over it. I'm still just like, man.
Yeah, but
there's no way
caught,
there's no way he should be this good when
no
he's 41.
There's no way they're not testing him.
Well, they are testing.
Oh yeah, they gotta be testing him after every game.
It's unfair to him that's just in my head, even slightly. But
it's
hard to not put it in your head.
Hmm. Well, he's not a bodybuilder type anyway. He's body by cheeseburgers.
Yeah,
basically,
that's what I do too.
Yeah,
hot
dogs.
I
got no problem with that. All right. Well, that was fun. So, what do you think about Delino DeShields, any thoughts at all on him?
I'm pretty, it's pretty hard to buy back in after the disappointment that was 2016.
Yeah, I didn't actually look up his numbers, but the report I read said he was not doing especially well in AAA anyway upon his call-up. You're just getting him for speed, if anything. 21 steals in the minors this year. 261, 367, he's walking a lot. So, you know, OBP leagues, he does get a boost. He's always walked a lot throughout his minor league and major league career. So I think he's worth picking up in most leagues just because of the stolen bases.
I'd say it'd have to be, you know,
as a fifth outfielder.
I guess. If we're
mostly,
talking
when I say most leagues, I'm excluding 10-team leagues.
Yeah, because I can't see it there. But
if you're getting a 12-team league, if you need 12, steals, maybe.
Yeah. When you need something like, because you know, like Jared Dyson or anybody that's like a specialist, you can always add Travis Jankowski, right. And you know the guys that you don't want, you don't care what they do other than that they steal you a few bases. Yeah. So in that respect, I agree.
All right, let's move on to the closer calamities.
Watch out for that first step. It's a doozy.
Koji Urihara.
Nice pronunciation.
Has strained his pectoral.
Ouch.
Yes.
It's in your foot, I think.
Yeah, that's you correct.
Yep.
So he's to the he's to the DL, and Brad Ziegler will apparently be closing in Boston with Uehara and Kimbrel both on a disabled list for at least a month.
Ouch.
I believe. So Ziegler, if he was dropped in any leagues, pretty much just pick him up if you're chasing saves. I don't know if there's a whole lot of analysis there.
No.
He's not going to be a great reliever because he's not an elite strikeout guy. He's an elite ground ball rate guy, which can, you know, in the AL East with a lot of small ballparks, that
I wouldn't help. It's not like I like him, you know, in Boston or anything like that, but he's just been so good that for the last 2 years.
He's found a way to get it done. Yeah.
And there's certainly a possibility that he was dropped in certain leagues because of the fact that you didn't think he was going to get saves in Boston.
Yeah, the 20-team Friends of Dear Mr. Fantasy League that I'm in, I was up to 5 closers, and we only have 4 RP slots. And I was like, well, crap, Brad Ziegler, he got traded.
Yeah.
Now he's not going to be the closer because Uehara is there. And literally, I think within a half an hour after I dropped Brad Ziegler, like, Uehara left the game with his pec strain. I'm like, Jesus. So, yeah, and you can't, I tried to put a waiver claim in on him, and yeah, who doesn't allow you to do that on the guy that you dropped?
That you dropped, yeah.
It's your dog.
Because it's your dog, obviously.
How long do you have to wait?
You can't put in a claim for it. You have to wait till he's a free agent and then pick him up again.
Until it's not your dog anymore.
Really? But it's your dog.
But it's, that's the thing. That's the argument.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. All right, Arodas Vizcaino and our other closer Calamity has been sent to the disabled list with an oblique strain. Joe, where's that?
The butt.
Okay. Well, you really bent over on that one.
Say oblique again.
Oblique.
Yeah, it's definitely from the butt.
I think so.
Bleak.
Yeah, well, sounds like it.
Very bleak region of the body.
Yes. Yeah, it's if you're near
the O.
The O part.
Let's move on.
And the bleak kind of sounds like
the oblique. Jesus. Jim Johnson is going to close in the interim. Jesse loves Jim Johnson because he's got a safe name. He's his favorite closer of all time.
Very safe.
Safest name of all time.
So, Jesse, what kind of leagues are you going to be adding Jim Johnson in?
Everywhere.
Okay, good.
Anywhere where you want to feel a sense of safety.
Nothing says safety.
Jim Johnson.
Like Jim Johnson.
Yes.
That's right. None of this Arodas Vizcaino BS.
Nah, he was... That's not a safe name.
Ridiculous. There's kind of scary. Z's in there and Y's.
Oh, man. There's all kinds of letters. Jim Johnson's only got like 4 letters in his name. Right. Repeated.
So Jim Johnson's so
J's
safe.
J's and N's and H's.
There isn't a person in this world that would mess up the pronunciation of Jim Johnson.
Son of John.
I hope not. Yeah, how would... something like Enos Harris somehow gets on there. He's like Him Honson. You know, like I don't know how you do it. But somebody probably could out there.
Yeah. All right. So, Joe, what do you think? Where are you adding Jim Johnson, if at all? Is he safe?
I guess. You know, obviously in 12 and deeper, you got to add him if you need some saves. Like we got. 14-team podcast league. You might as well add him if you need some saves. I don't know that there's a lot of other good options out there in Atlanta. There's this dude that throws 112 or something that could be an option. But, yeah, I can't think of his name.
Son of a bitch.
But it's also like I've also heard everybody and their dog because it's their dog.
It's their dog.
Yeah, they've all said that, you know, oh, you let Jim Johnson get a couple saves, and then you trade him. You know, you got to trade everything. And they, I don't know.
Yeah,
I always hate that logic because I just don't like to think that baseball GMs are that stupid that they're like, look at this Jim Johnson kid. I never heard of him, but he's got four saves, and I like that.
Yeah, I'm not adding Jim Johnson. I've ridden the train before, and it's not good.
No.
I've heard this argument before from
Joe.
Yeah,
we've done this. We've done this before.
Right. I guess his name
I always do Yim. That. I always do that fun, Yim weird Johnson. Voice when I do it, though. My dumb yes. GM voice, which...
Hey, why don't you guys go take a look at this Jimmy Johnson? I tell you what, he's
I pitched him for the first time last night. Yeah. He got a save.
Mauricio Cabrera is yeah, the name of that setup guy, who has much more upside than Jim Johnson.
Yeah, so you can go at him. I mean, apparently, like, but for sure, the Braves would gladly take anything for Jim Johnson.
Yeah, they're not going to get anything for him. I can't imagine.
I don't think so.
He's got like a 4.5 ERA anyway. So
he's not like good. He's good.
All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to hear from Harvey Dinkelman and be back with our feature segment, the Mini Roto League Draft.
Hello again, folks. Harvey Dinkelman here with your Killer Dilla Pickup of the Week. This week's hot ad is Tyler Naquin, outfielder for the Cleveland Indians. Naquin has really humdingered his Bearcat, if you know my onions. Why, in 53 July plate appearances, he's got an 1107 OPS and has really trimmed his striker rate from earlier this season down to 23%. He also features a ducky 43% hard contact rate this season, which helps legitimize his 12 home runs. While he's unlikely to continue this tremendous pace, he should still be a solid injury filler for teams who have been hit by the injury bug. Once again, that's Tyler Naquin, outfielder for the Cleveland Indians. Reporting for the Nasty Cast, this is Harvey Dinkelman, signing off.
Thanks, as always, to the smooth Harvey Dinkelman. He's always sipping his whiskey over in the cabana.
Or some other cocktail from the 20s.
Exactly. He's old-fashioned, so he drinks an old-fashioned.
Mainly, yes. But he'll mix it up and have
Moscow Mules.
Whatever he drinks, he puts it in a highball.
That's true.
No doubt about it.
No doubt about it. All right. So we're on to our feature segment now, the annual Mini Roto League Challenge. So since Roto Joto is your Twitter handle, Joe.
It should be.
Oh, but it's not. But I feel like you should explain the rules to this game.
Oh, well, you know, we usually... The best way to do this is to do it over the All-Star break because it's easier for me to calculate the stats. But what we do
didn't
is
work this year.
We do about a 30-day challenge, and we draft just little mini teams. They're little mini, and we always do this little leprechaun thing.
Oh, little leprechaun!
Little mini
like
teams.
Like Little Pony.
Yes, My Little Pony, my favorite show.
Oh, yes.
Where's me gold?
Yes, there's
gold. Don't take me gold!
So the winner of this challenge gets the gold.
Yep.
Anyway, we just do teams of... We have three infielders, three outfielders, catcher, and any five pitchers you want, and we go 4x4. Because I don't want to calculate averages, because I'm lazy. So right. Runs, homers, steals.
We don't have fancy maths.
Nope. I suppose I could do it, but really, I mean, I don't want to. Anyway, so we're just going with the counting stats. And the rules, of course, are that we are only drafting players that were drafted preseason outside of the top 250. And after we finished this draft, which we did right before the show, I was kind of amazed at how much I liked my team. Like, there's some, you know, we eat a 24-player draft, and we, you know, got some pretty solid guys out of this 24 guys drafted outside of the top 250. So
yeah, so, I mean, it's kind of the relevance of this is to give our sort of second-half outlooks for these players.
For these guys, yeah.
Yeah, we drafted the guys that, you know, obviously we like, and then there's a couple honorable mentions, but then there's a couple obvious omissions that
we
obviously we don't care for.
And we can discuss that. Right. And, of course, the main thing... That we and obviously now that we're big time superstars on Blog Talk Radio,
of course
we play commercials for Geico. That's the beginning of the show.
Geico,
Geico, my favorite movie. But anyway, now our listenership is sure to explode soon enough. There'll be I don't know 1-2 million,
just like Jesse's pants after burrito day.
No doubt about it. So we're gonna have a lot of do it. So listeners out there, here's a challenge to you, a chance, an opportunity.
We are going to give you the chance to decide what the punishment should be for the loser of the Mini Roto League. Mm. Now, we've done it 2 years in a row. I've won it 2 years in a row. First time that we lost, that Nate lost the Mini Roto League, I believe, was the Drunky Cast. I'm pretty sure that's what it was.
I can't think of what else it would have been.
You lost the Streaming Challenge, too, but I think but that's those, when those I punched were, you in the stomach.
Those were less. And the Ham Slap was after last season.
That was last season.
Yeah, because I lost the Wendy's back.
No, right. That was the Mini Roto League, too, I thought.
Oh, was it? Okay. So the Ham Slap was the punishment for last year.
I think it was the Ham Slap, which we asked the listeners.
I don't know which of those three I enjoy the most. Between the Ham Slap.
Well, the Drunky Cast was pretty great.
No, but the Ham Slap, that video is amazing.
Well, I can tell you which one I enjoyed the least was the Drunky Cast.
Yeah, for sure.
It was supposed to be a fish slap.
But we couldn't find a really good fish.
Really hard to find a non-frozen fish.
Yeah.
Or even if we could have thawed one out. To fight.
Yeah. We lived in Seattle.
We could have fished one, actually.
That's true.
There, we could have caught a live fish and like beat it on the head and then slapped me with it.
That's another idea. I guess that could be this year.
A little more time consuming.
But anyway, for those of you out there that are creative.
By the way, I shop at Sam's Club now.
Sure. Moving up in the world.
They have full fish there.
Oh, do they? Yep. Oh, so there we go. We could have done it.
Yep.
But the ham was a really nice solution to the problem.
It was a ham steak, too. It wasn't like a half, it wasn't like, you know, 10 pounds of ham or anything like that.
I don't know. Just go out to the fantasyamateurs.com and check out the video of me hitting Nate in the face with the ham.
Yes.
It's pretty good stuff.
But back to this Roto Challenge thing. It's outside of the top 250?
Yep.
Currently? Or
no, preseason.
Yeah,
draft.
Preseason.
Preseason ADP.
ADP according to fantasypros.com.
Yes, which is aggregate.
Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah, good point. So, yeah. But anyway, email us in thefantasyamateurs@gmail.com. What's your favorite thing that I could do to Nate after I win this
basically,
league?
Basically, yeah.
Because that's what always happens. But and it probably won't. And actually, one of the other things we talk about, too, is like last year, you know, Carlos Correa was drafted outside.
You just Correa'd me last year. And you did something similar the first year. What was it the first year?
Boy, that was a funny sneeze there by Jesse.
That was a good one.
He might have been muted. George Springer was year one.
You Springer'd me the first year. That's what it was. Springer year one, Correa year two. I don't feel like there's that huge obvious pick this year, probably because I got the first overall pick instead of you.
Perhaps, yes. But George Springer not the number one pick, though. The first year, George Springer was like my last.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah. And then he just went on a ridiculous tear that month.
He just went nuts.
Yeah.
But.
So we figured out who would have the first overall pick very scientifically by having a Jesse Trivia Challenge, which might turn into a full BS segment at some point because it was pretty fun.
Yeah, I believe that the questions included, what is his middle name, which we both knew was
Aaron.
Yep, and then what street did he live on when he grew up, which I, of course, guessed Big Penis Boulevard.
And you were correct.
And I was correct.
Yep.
And, like, what was his grandma's name, which I also went with Big Penis Boulevard on that
right,
one.
Yeah.
Yep.
Turns out it was Alfredo.
Mavis, yeah. But anyway, on to the draft. So, Nate with his number one pick, you went with?
My boy, the leader of the hashtag dudes so far this season. Jonathan VR.
All those guys have been hashtagging themselves based on your list, I think.
Right, yeah. If you go to Jonathan VR's Twitter account, hashtag dude every time he steals a base.
He does.
He tweets out.
Well, and he's always got his phone in his pocket.
Yeah, well, he asks for time after he successfully. So he runs back to the dugout, tweets it out, hashtag dude.
Yep.
And then the stolen base number.
Yeah, that too. You got to put.
And then he mentions me and says, most beautiful penis ever.
At Nathan Doggan,
yeah.
I've seen all of those things happen on Twitter.
I didn't even ask him to brag about my penis.
No, that was just something he did. Yeah,
I pay him for the hashtag dude thing.
Oh, really?
Everything else is free.
Oh, how does he know about the penis then?
I showed him.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, my number two pick, and we'll go snake style here, of course. I went with Michael Fulmer, who was actually undrafted and has been kind of ridiculous, and Rajay Davis, who was drafted 420th and somehow has almost double-digit home runs already.
Ridiculous, yeah. I've been ice cold for the past couple weeks.
Oh, has he? Yeah.
Yes, he has. He's been killing my dynasty team, but he's still obviously way bigger of a plus than a negative because I added
just
him.
Just the steals.
yeah, I got him for the steals. And he's delivered on the power as well. And hitting on top of the lineup, he scored a lot of runs as well. So definitely pleased with that pickup. That was the Michael Brantley replacement for that particular team. So, I mean, he's probably even better than Michael Brantley would have been.
He has been.
Yeah. So then my next two picks, who did I go with? Jake Lamb, who was the 427th pick. And spring ADP, and then I think
Jackie Bradley Jr.
Jackie Bradley Jr. is 386. Who has tailed off a little bit lately, but still pretty good.
Still been like a top 30 outfielder, even with
the tailing off. I think that's more along the lines of where his value lies the rest of the season, like top 30, not top 10 like he was for a while there, April or May.
But he's still, he's still, like, next year, not going to go outside of the top 150, even as opposed to outside of top 250.
Definitely. And I mean, just being in that Boston lineup is going to help with runs and RBI, even if he's not hitting at the top of it. And he does have a great walk rate, too, so.
He's one of those guys that if you bet on him, and I actually drafted him in Dynasty. That was his first year.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he started that year in the minors, and then he ended up coming back up. And it was, he was such a good defender that he was a great, a prospect, basically just based on defense. But if you bet on him, and the thing that you could kind of learn from him is sometimes you just bet on an athlete, a guy that's just a really good athlete. Sometimes
our buddy Rich Wilson always preaches that.
And sometimes, well, with pitchers, a lot of times he talks about that. But
yeah, I think in general that.
But in general, it's true. Yeah, and he's one of the people that really did turn it around, and just he wasn't a good hitter when he came up; he was terrible, and he just figured it out. And
one of those guys who was too patient, too worried about getting on base and drawing walks, and he was letting good strikes go.
And now he's totally figured it out. He's actually been one of their better offensive players on the grid. And everybody loves Jake Lamb. He's like a top 12 third baseman now.
Absolutely. And I feel like so Harvey Dinkelman has only been on one other time. Was that his guy the first time?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I know we talked about him. I know we liked him.
Yeah.
We had the whole I love Lamb thing.
Yeah, we've said I love Lamb several times.
Right.
But anyway.
So I feel like a lot of Bucketeers out there who've listened to us were able to add him early enough.
Yeah, or at least like one. Based on the number of listeners we have. But anyway, there might be one guy out there. I don't know. Hopefully Barry Baker added him. I don't know.
So you guys were?
Oh, poor Barry. We always are telling him. But next up, I went with Matt Shoemaker, fresh off complete game, 13 strikeout performance, and Marcelo Ozuna, who was 255. Remember, like preseason, I think we'd had a talk of Marcelo Ozuna versus Rosny Castillo. And I think everybody on that show, it might have been everybody that we had on, and including ourselves,
really liked Ozuna.
And we're like, yeah, we don't know about Castillo, and that was definitely the right call.
Yep.
And Ozuna just had another monster double off the wall tonight, and he's just another really solid hitter. He just has a ton of power, so hopefully he'll hit me a few homers. A guy that I believe in.
Yeah, I was really hoping that he would fall to me with my next picks. Wasn't the case. I went with two more outfielders, though. Odubel Herrera, who was drafted at 290, and Nomar Mazara, who was at 418, obviously started the year in the minor leagues. Really was just smoking hot when he got called up, and lately has been pretty cold, but I figured that out after I already drafted him, so he's on my team anyway.
And if nothing else, if you're ever, if you out there in podcast land are listening, and if you have a friend, and I hope you do.
Probably not if you're listening to this podcast.
Probably not, but
you might.
Yeah, if you don't, then I don't know, maybe go on Twitter and find another listener of the podcast because they don't have a friend either.
Hashtag find nasty. A friend.
That's why I said go do your local poke stop or whatever the hell they call them and tell one of your other Pokemon go.
Pokestop. Okay.
That's the only friends they have.
True. Yeah.
Hey, you play Pokemon, I play Pokemon. You should listen to the NastyCast. I listen to the NastyCast.
Well, we might as well jump on this Pokemon thing, and people seem to like that.
Have you caught them all yet?
Yeah, we could just.
Me neither.
Let's rebrand the Pokecast.
Pokecast. It's too late now.
Yeah, and I don't know what any of them are called, but
it would be kind of funny if the three of us did a Pokemon Go podcast because none of us.
Oh boy, yeah.
We could just do it live. Just be like, all right, I'm here at the corner of Berkshire. And whatever streets intersect with Nate's street, I don't know.
Berkshire and Easy Street.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't have an Easy Street around here.
Or Berkshire and William.
We have an Easy Street in Bismarck, by the way.
That's your poor name.
It's down by the golf course in South Park. Anyway, nobody cares. Next up, I went Nick Castellanos, who was my boy preseason third baseman. I kept saying his name on the third base show, and probably the only thing I said right this entire preseason. And then Anthony DeSclafani, who has come back, and I think he's
He's been awesome.
He's been awesome, yeah. I traded him away in our Dynasty League for Danny Valencia, who's also been pretty solid, and I kind of regret it.
You know,
because
what?
The guy, actually, the dumbest thing of that is he emailed me after I said I wanted to trade for one of his third basemen. He's like, I really like Drew Smyly. What would you do for him? Like, never! Oh, man. If I had just traded away Drew Smyly.
Really?
But that didn't happen. So I gave up Descofani. But he's been great. His last like five or six starts have all been quality starts. So he's been on tear.
Killing it. Hashtag dude.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Yep. So that's me then.
Castellanos was one of my dudes, by the way.
There you go. So it's good to see these guys performing. Turner, was he a dude? Two home runs today? I think he was a dude for me.
Justin Turner, I'm sure he was.
Yeah. All right. Who did I pick next? Mike Napoli, I believe, my third infielder at 358. And Wilson Ramos.
No, but you went Jared Eichhoff.
Oh, I did. I went Jared Eichhoff at 390.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know, I mean, so Jared Eichhoff and, you know, like, we're taking some pitchers that are all pretty off the radar. And just, you know, before I forget, Drew Pomeranz was available in this draft, and we didn't draft him.
He went undrafted, yes.
We just, neither of us buy into him, so. You know, I mean, I guess my tip there would be, even though maybe other people are worried about him, he had a bad start, I'd look to move him even still. I just think it's going to go pretty poorly in Boston. We took, like, whatever, however many pitchers were drafted, and we did not draft Drew Pomeranz.
Well, not to put the cart before the horse, but 10 starters were drafted. He wasn't one of them.
No.
He was eligible.
All of the guys, and all of the guys drafted outside the top 250. So we're saying he's, like, outside of the top, like, 50 starters probably.
It's not like I think he's going to be just, like, he's going to embarrass himself and get demoted or anything like that, but I would rather have all these guys than him.
Yeah, so, I mean, I still think, well, he's still got some name value. I wouldn't have any problem.
Yeah, and I mean, you should have sold high on him anyway, just because of the innings limit.
I guess
coming up.
Yeah, but it, you know, they can't jump in the time machine like we can. You know,
we have the power to turn back time.
We do have the power to turn back time. I don't like that. That's a thing now.
I do.
At number 14, I took Sungwon Oh as my closer, who's totally undrafted. But I totally buy that he's going to be a really great closer for the second half.
Absolutely. Trevor Rosenthal is not doing anything to get that job back. No. In fact, he's been demoted even farther out of late innings. Like, he's a low inning, low leverage setup guy now.
Yeah. Oh is just, he's too good to give up the gig in my book. I mean, I just don't see him.
Absolutely. I'm 100% on board. I think he's going to be the guy moving forward for years and years to come.
Yeah, he could be. And then I took Jonathan Gray, just hoping for some strikeouts, and hopefully, and I should have probably looked at the schedule, but hopefully they just don't pitch in Colorado.
Yeah, that's one thing. One of us could dominate each other. Like, if I did a bunch of research.
Yeah, neither of us.
The guy who's got the most starts and what the matchups are going to be. And everything. Yeah, we didn't go that deep into it. This is more for just the overall player evaluation, what we think of the players.
Yeah, I just am like, do I like this guy? And, you know, you kind of just go with your gut a little bit, too. I mean, like I said, you know, if we were really thinking, like, somebody probably should have taken Drew Pomeranz. He's been by far the best pitcher of any of the pitchers drafted outside of the top 250. But I don't think for this next month that he's going to be that good.
And maybe if it was
a short sample size.
If it was wins instead of quality starts being on Boston, that would have tempted me a little more, because I think that's one thing we forgot to mention is how we're scoring this at the top. Did you bring that up?
Well, I said it was just going on counting stats, but I didn't say QS instead of wins.
Yeah, we do
wins.
Quality starts instead of wins and innings pitched instead of, like, ERA.
Well, yeah, because I'm not calculating ERAs.
Right.
And instead of WHIP, we're just going with IP.
Right.
Which is per inning pitch.
Yep, innings pitched per innings pitched.
Oh, hip.
Just innings pitched.
Hip.
Hip. Just innings pitched.
Hip.
Which was just to make it so you don't draft three closers, because then, you know, Nate tried to do that last year and he still lost saves, which was funny.
Yeah, because freaking Joaquin Soria got traded like the day after we did it.
Ah, whatever. Quit complaining.
It's true.
So next up, Nate took Vincent Velasquez.
Sure. And then I took Wilson Ramos.
Yeah. Right. And Wilson Ramos, like, you know, we talked about him a little bit earlier. Like, he is legit a top five catcher now.
Yep, for sure. And that actually torques me off, because in the 10-team Baseball for Dummies League, which is a 10-team points league, I decided to do a little experiment. I've never drafted Buster Posey before.
Okay.
So I drafted him, and he has been really good in a points league. He's been sort of disappointing in a roto league. But
oh, yeah, he's always good in points, yeah.
Yeah, always good in points. And so while he hasn't necessarily disappointed, Wilson Ramos was still on the waiver wire in like June.
Did you notice who picked him up?
Probably you.
Of course. Yeah, it was indeed.
So, but my team is just in shape. I'm going to have to drop guys off the DL because my DL is more than full now with Sinchuchu. It's just a mess, that team, and everybody else is day-to-day. So.
Oh, Sinchuchu.
Oh, God. Hate that guy.
Hey, I own Clayton Kershaw in that league.
Oh, wow.
Dun, dun, dun. For the season. Sorry, Jesse.
All right.
Did they announce that he's doing surgery?
Not officially, but not sounding good. All right, I'm sorry. I don't
have hope.
Jesse's, for those of all of our new thousands of listeners, that's Jesse's favorite baseball player of all time, Clayton Kershaw.
Who he traded for literally like days before he would, you know.
Before the injury. Yeah, I think probably,
did you get a start out? Not a single start.
Oh, man, that is brutal.
I don't
think
so.
In our Dynasty League, I traded him Kershaw, and he did. That is bad. Anyway, next up, I took Carlos Beltran because, you know, he's just a solid.
You should feel guilty.
20 homers this year. I don't know. It could all fall apart at any minute, but, you know, I needed some power, and I thought he was a good way to go. And I took Trey Turner. Trey Turner, you need steals, and Nate right off the top, took Villar. Or VR, and that's, you know, so he's, you know, right, and so, you know, you got to try and keep up in steals, and Trey Turner in his last, like, four games or five games since the All-Star break, I think he's played every day since the All-Star break and stole two bases already, so I'm looking to catch steals, lightning in a bottle there.
Yeah, between Rajai and Trey Turner, it'll be interesting to see if you can basically outpace Jonathan VR by himself.
Yeah?
I mean, I'll get a few from Odubel and Bradley.
Herrera will steal a couple.
Yeah, but that's really about it. So, and it was interesting as far as strategy goes. We both took very different approaches.
I went pitching in the beginning, and Nate went all hitting.
See, I was not super impressed with it. Like, a lot of these pitchers seem sort of the same to me. Like, tier, you know, like one huge meh tier.
Kind of, yeah. I thought Michael Fulmer was the best
pitcher. You're right, yeah. As far as that, I think he's easily a cut above the rest of these guys.
I took him number two, so.
Right, yeah. It's back to me now, right?
Yeah.
So then I took, because I already had all my hitting slots filled up already, I went with Danny Duffy and Aaron Sanchez. Duffy was the pick number 352, and Aaron Sanchez was a lot higher at 276.
I mean, Aaron Sanchez, you know, is going to get shut down at some point, but probably not within the next 30 days.
Exactly,
so.
Yeah. So season long, I would be looking to sell him if you can get somebody who hasn't, you know, who just doesn't realize that he's probably going to get shut down or at least move to the bullpen. Whereas Danny Duffy, I mean, he's a reliever for the first half of the season, so he could close out the season as a starter, as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, the Duff man, I don't worry about that with him. Yeah, I think he's going to be. I don't have any worries about them shutting him down. So
no,
yeah, I went Danny Valencia because he was, you know, 259. There was really nothing else that I liked out there. I actually looked at Danny Espinosa was the guy that I looked at because, you know, I thought maybe some power speed combo there, and he was like 0 for 15, and, you know, he's the kind of guy that when he goes cold, it could be an iceberg. So I just got to stay away from him. Went with a little bit more safety, and I took Robinson Chirino as a catcher, and I don't think that really matters. He's just a catcher. Hopefully, he hits two home runs in a month.
He does have a lot of power.
So yeah, he can hit home runs, and that's about it.
All right,
and then you took Colomé.
The very last pick, yeah, was Alexander Colomé, and I even debated on that a little bit, whether I want to do that, because the box, favorite of the show, Brad Boxberg, working his way back in rehab currently, so the only thing that could screw me in that department is if Boxberger comes back in a week and takes the closer's job back.
Yeah,
I would honestly be pretty surprised if they move Colomé out at this point.
He's been
so good.
He's been good enough. I wouldn't do it if I were them. I mean, and Boxberger wasn't good last year. I mean, like, I would just, you got a closer now. I just keep Colomé in the job.
But. Yeah, it was crazy how different Boxberger was last year from 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago he was amazing. I mean, and then last year, you know, he added a pitch. He added, a changeup, or, I mean, I don't know. He was just straight fastball change, I think, whatever, when his dominant season. Then he added, whether it was a slider or a curve. Yeah. He added a third pitch, and, you know, like, you'd think, like, well, a third pitch, a little bit, and one more weapon.
Yeah, should be better.
Nope. So, you know, I mean, and I, watching him pitch, his stuff is still nasty, but he just hasn't been able to quite figure it out ever since then, so.
That wraps it up. So, yeah, like you were saying, Joe, if you have a friend
Yeah.
Do this.
Have a mini roto draft.
It's fun.
It was a lot of fun. I mean, yeah, and this, you know, I mean, it's just looking out to when you put that restriction of you got to go outside the top 250, it makes...
That's what makes it fun.
It's all sleepers, you know, preseason sleepers and all that stuff. And, you know, you look at some of the guys we named that are now, you know, top 10 options at their positions, and they're all, you know, Jake Lamb or Castellanos or some of the, you know, yeah. Mike Napoli has 20 home runs. No total afterthought. I was 1 year late on Mike Napoli, by the way.
We both were, yeah. We were both in on the sleep apnea being fixed last year.
God.
Yeah, it didn't happen. It was so annoying.
Yeah. Because I was all aboard the Napoli train 2 years ago. And then.
And he's got like 60 runs and 65 RBIs too this
year. I just
year.
Traded for him.
Ooh.
Nice. In the NastyCast podcast league.
I didn't even notice that.
I either. Yeah. Well, I don't
know
how to talk to you about it.
Well, like, just like while we were doing the show or what?
Well, like last week. I got Mike Napoli and a closer. I can't remember which one. I traded E5 away, I think.
Oh, I think I did notice that, but
I was waiting.
Forgot that it was
yell
you.
At me for it.
Nope. But yeah, I mean, I was actually writing up for Fantastics the other day, and I was writing up Robert Pujols because he had a 2-homer and 6 RBI game, and I had looked at Mike Napoli too. I wrote him up at the same time. I'm like, I think I might have Mike
same
Napoli
guy.
The rest of the season. Yeah, they're like. Mike Napoli has more. He has like 20 more runs scored.
Better offense.
Yeah.
Crazy.
He was Kenley Jansen. So it wasn't.
Oh,
like
Kenley
just
Jansen.
A
I mean, that's a
just no closer. It's a good closer.
That's a very good closer.
So I had a good closer and a decent first baseman. So.
Yeah, solid replacement anyway.
And it's an OBP league too. So
yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, Mike Napoli. Insanely enough, is a like a top
the power's
15
always been
for
real,
sure
but.
First baseman. Like, and yeah, I mean.
I think the power is
yeah. I was all of honestly last year. I drafted him everywhere that I could, and I was like, yeah, 30 homers, solid OBP. It's all gonna, and it just didn't happen. And now it's all happening this year. So
yep, you're off. All right, well, folks, been a fun one. We were contemplating doing a BS episode, but we kind of ran out of idea to finish off what we were gonna do. So probably nothing this week, but we're gonna come at you probably next week with another throwback BS episode. I think so.
Yeah, most likely. With you and I.
And
yeah.
Hopefully, we haven't really heard much about it, but I mean, I hope none of you are offended if there really are commercials on the episodes now.
Right, yeah.
Now, if you are offended, get over it.
Right. Literally every podcast that is on my iPhone that I subscribe to has commercials.
Yeah.
Like, so you should be used to it.
I think the listeners, if you really do like us, you should probably just be happy for us because this is kind of a...
I can't really emphasize enough the fact that it's not that we're selling out or like that. It's not about making money.
No, it's not.
It's about exposure.
Yeah.
And for us to join Blog Talk Radio Prime and the fact that we're going to get all this stuff at our fingertips and all these things that, you know, this exposure and people seeing who we are, what we are, we're going to get all this free advertisement done for us just for us to throw some advertisements on our podcast is so huge for us. And we get it for free. I mean, we don't have to go out and negotiate. We don't have to go and ask so-and-so podcast anymore if they'll play our promo or stuff like that. We get free press, free advertising, and free, you know, marketing out there.
Well, yeah. And we just, like, yeah. We thought it was kind of hopefully a sign that someone out there in the world had heard our podcast, and we thought that was pretty awesome. So,
yeah. There are people that like us.
There's maybe, like, 5, but still. Better than 0.
Hopefully there'll be more in the future. All right.
I make no promises, though.
Right. All right. Well, Joe, we'll see you in a couple weeks.
Yes. The Joe is taking his yearly vacation. Sadly, not to Wisconsin, though.
No. Where are you going?
We're going to a lake cabin in Minnesota.
Not quite as far.
I always try and stay in the tri-state area.
There you go. Got to stay in the safe
You'll
Midwest.
Probably sneak off to Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's pretty close there. I'll probably, like, hail a cab in the middle of the night and get down there and get some cheese.
Yeah, right on. You got to have that cheese.
Although I am going to Wisconsin Dells in August, so don't worry about me.
Yes, well,
I'll make it to Wisconsin soon enough.
Good, we'll find a replacement for you again. And your replacement next week is going to be the great Howard Bender from Fantasy Alarm. So look forward to that. You don't have to listen to Joe drone on about this and that next week. You'll have an actual professional.
I suppose. No more board. Cheese talk.
No more cheese talk. So until then, folks, may the fantasy gods shine upon you.
Go buy a nasty car. Ha ha.